You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Flights of Fancy.
Sorry.
We're raising the roof. It's
we are. Though. Raising the roof. Yeah, gotta do the steps and then you race.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I'm one of your hosts, Anna, and I'm joined by my book besties, Christina and Kim.
Hello!
We are so excited.
We are so excited.
We're clearly thrilled. Yeah.
We're super excited.
We have reread, this is my third time reading the book.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Bridge Kingdom by Danielle Jensen.
Danielle, you queen! Yes. You absolute queen.
I think this was like maybe the third book we did
I think
as a book club during the pandemic.
Yes. Our book club pre-podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because Trader Queen was coming out and I was like, guys, you need to read this book so we can read Trader Queen together. So we did this.
I'm so glad you did, Anna, because
I was just so happy you guys liked it as much as I did.
Yeah.
And then we've been obsessed for the past
year. We have.
And I feel like we just have to give a spoiler warning. We're obviously discussing book one and there's going to be tons of spoilers for book one.
Yes.
We will not spoil anything for book two.
Right.
There'll be no discussion about book two in tonight's episode.
So you know how when you read a book and you just like absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to reread it, you're kind of like nervous almost that it's not going to like live up to the hype. Because sometimes you just
100%.
Read the right book at the right time. And then it just like connects with you. Totally. I mean, I knew I would love it because like it's a fantastic book. But I just didn't know if, I don't know. And then I read it again, and, like, I love it even more, if that's even possible.
And I loved
like,
it
it's
again.
Just so good.
This is my third time reading it, and I, going into it, like, okay, am I going to be kind of, not bored, but, like, I've already been here, done that type thing.
Yes.
And no, everything was just as exciting. You get to the last 100 pages, and you just can't put it down. You're just like, holy shit. Yes. As soon as Snake Island happens, I was like, we're done. Like, I can't.
Exactly.
Snake.
I couldn't stop reading.
It's like, one thing after the
Snake Island happens, and then Shark Attack, and it's just, it's
too much. My God.
Okay, so wait.
Let us jump in.
World building.
Guys, top notch.
I mean, Kim, you are like, this is your jam. I have been so excited to talk about this with you.
I'm just making a bunch of hand movements without saying words, just so excited.
You guys know how I feel about world building. And this is truly, there is something so special about this world. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so unique. The way she does it, like, it's not info dumpy at all. But you, like, you feel like you're there. Like, you can feel it.
It just feels like it's seamlessly built into the story. But I also felt like I understood.
Yes.
Complex world so well,
which I struggle with sometimes.
Just it's woven so perfectly through because she doesn't do it all at once.
No.
She doesn't spend the first few chapters like building this world. It's every time like you kind of it's like as the characters meet a new place and you're introduced to the place as the reader.
Exactly.
And it's so it makes you go along the journey in a more cohesive manner rather than just like all of a sudden getting all this information thrown at you.
But it's,
think the actual world itself, the complexity that she added of like the wartime, we have like the storms and we have the other islands and we have our relationships with the other islands and how the placement of where all the islands are compared to the
like Midwatch and Southwatch and Northwatch and all those places are all so different
too. Even the names make sense in your head.
Right.
You know, I also liked about her world building that was different. I really appreciated that, like, she gave it's been 8 weeks or it's been 2 months or.
Yes.
Like, I really like that because sometimes you're like, it can be confusing. Just
Shadow and Bone,
Shadow and Bone. In the show,
it seems like she's there for 2 days. And in the book, she's there for like months. Right. And so in the show, it's like it went too fast. And in the book, it's like it went too slow.
Yeah. So I appreciate that she did that. But I also really liked that she didn't always use like 2 weeks or a time, a numeric number. But she would say like the war tides are upon us or the storm season is over. And you kind of got an idea of like, because they go through two of those, I think, like in the series.
Yeah.
So like it kind of gave you a sense of time and like how long she'd been there based on whether or not they were at war tides again or if they were at storm season or whatever, tempest season again.
And that helped, especially rereading. I feel like seeing the timelines because I know what's coming.
It
felt a little like, oh wow, she spends a lot of time spying and like not actually being romantic.
She's there a long time.
Which I appreciate because it's like in that time, I mean, you might not see it, but they reference it and they do. I think because they have all that time, it allows for their slow build romance.
Agreed.
Like even because it is slow, but it's realistic. Like it's not like 2 weeks have passed and she's like,
he's the one.
Well, totally
it really did take its time and it was slow burn without us actually having to live through a year of it. Does that make sense?
True.
Like, I agree.
Like you said, like it felt like she spent the, you know, war tides or whatever, and then there was storm season, and you could see time passing, and you could see their connection growing, and, like, their feelings for each other. Yes. More so, Aaron. I'm sorry. I know it's Oren, but I'm sorry, Danielle,
I think it's Aaron.
Okay.
Right?
No.
Christine, Aaron? Well, when you were listening to it, didn't it sound like she was saying Aaron?
It did
Aaron. I didn't sound like Oren.
I'm going to say
really
Aaron.
Strange pronunciation.
I'm sorry. Danielle, I'm going to say Aaron, and I'm ever so sorry.
So pause. So we all read it the first time and said Aaron in our heads. Mm-hmm. We listened to the audible and heard Aaron.
Aaron. I know.
It's hard. So
I can say Aaron, but Oren.
Yeah. So just as a group,
he's not an Oren.
We're going to say Aaron.
We're going to go with Aaron.
Danielle, we apologize if that's incorrect, and we would relish the opportunity for you to tell us what the correct pronunciation.
If you would like to come on and give a pronunciation guide, we would love nothing more than that.
We would welcome you at any time.
Yes, welcome you with open arms.
And open arms.
Love in our hearts.
Going forward, are going to say
call us,
Aaron.
Beep us.
If you want to reach us, if you want to page us,
Kim Possible.
Kim,
that's okay. Truly.
It's okay.
That's
Kim
okay.
Possible.
Okay, so let's talk about POVs because y'all both pointed this out, and I didn't actually ever think about this whenever I was reading it.
I just hadn't read it in, I guess, a year, and I forgot that you get Aaron's point of view. And I feel like a lot of times, especially in the first book, I feel like you just don't get that often, two POVs, especially if there's a love interest. And it's usually just the female because we read primarily like heroine-driven books. And I really love that we get Aaron's point of view, and especially because so much time has passed, you get to know where his head is and how he's feeling about Lara.
Yes.
I really, really love that we get his POV. I think that at times I kind of wished a little bit for first person.
Uh-huh.
It is still third person, so we never actually get in his head. It's like...
That's true.
Aaron did this.
That's true.
He's very much third person omniscient, where like the third person narrator can see into their heads, can see stuff.
I guess that's why it didn't bother me.
So like we're getting the insight. It's just, I think a lot of times like when she was struggling, I feel like especially with the balance of I'm being a spy, but I don't know if I love him, first person could have been interesting.
It could have been interesting. And I would have liked to see that too because, and I'll touch on this more when we get to Lara, but like I noticed it more this time that she really doesn't give that much to him to go off of. Like she's
mostly Aaron.
So yeah, I think it would have been fun to see.
I think so.
But I also like, clearly we got what we wanted from the character.
Yes.
It just could have been interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about the opening scene because I just have to say,
it's like shock value, right?
It's
the way this book opens
is incredible. I don't even have any words. Does anybody have any words?
I just love any book that like in the first chapter there's like a hook. And this is the hook. I was actually listening to it this time on Audible while I was driving, and my husband Ben was sitting next to me, and he was like, like all the sisters die, and he was like, "This is your heroine. She just killed 12 women," and I was like, Mm-hmm, because I didn't want to ruin it for him. I was like, because we had quite a bit of ways to drive. So I was like, well, you're going to find out soon. And he was like, I don't get this. Like, I don't understand why you listen to this.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have something interesting. So on Danielle Jensen's website, there is a section that's extra content.
What?
In that, in that, I'm interested in this to you guys. And now I'm actually happy I didn't, because now we're going to talk about it. Okay, so there's a section that's extra content. Okay. And in that, she talks about how, let me just pull it up. Okay. So she says that initially, Laura actually killed her sisters.
What?
Killed them all. Yeah. But she very quickly realized that she wasn't going to be able to create a redemption arc that would allow readers to forgive her for this selfish, unprovoked, in quotes, murder of 11 of her sisters. And even if she could, readers would spend the bulk of the novel hating her, which wasn't ideal.
True.
Yeah, agree.
So she decided to rewrite the beginning with a few clues that she faked their death. But the actual reveal in that draft of the fact that they were alive was going to be
Marilyn.
Marilyn came back. Yeah. But then her editor and agent, her agent's feedback was like, okay, readers are still going through most of the novel believing Laura's, like, a cold-hearted bitch for murdering her sisters.
Yeah.
And two, like, Laura's the narrator, so she can't ever think about her sisters because in her mind they're alive. But that makes her even more of a cold-hearted bitch if we think that she killed them.
And then, like, she doesn't think about them.
If she actually killed them, we would need some guilt.
Yeah.
The reader doesn't know she's not feeling guilt until the end with the reveal.
Right.
So you spend the whole book hating her.
Yeah.
Which is just such an interesting
thought.
Anyways, so that's how we got to where we are with
the, like, the note in her pocket.
Good call.
Good call. Agreed. I think that is the right call.
Wait, but opening,
Oh, yeah.
Okay, like, literally, when they, like, kill the servants, kill, like, everyone's dying, and you're like, what the fuck is going on around me? It is insane.
So and then the guy that she's like, and he was kind of like my
Eric,
father figure.
Isn't
and
Eric
he's like, good job.
He's like, good job.
Oh, yes, okay.
Bloody slits his throat in front of her.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Also, way she describes that desert.
Oh.
And, like, we're walking, and we're getting to the table, and we're at this dinner.
Yes.
And, like, all these things are happening.
And they're, like, and all, like, dressed up, all in different colors.
Oh, and she's in these, like, silks and these colors. Even
something is going to
describing
happen.
Describing the thing, there's tension.
So much tension.
Like, layered under it.
I was, like, and on the edge of my seat, and I didn't even know what was going to happen, but I was, like, something big is about to happen, because they're at this dinner, and she's, like, saying goodbye to her sister. She's squeezing her sister's hand. And then all of a sudden, like, her sister convulses and, like, falls face first into the soup.
Oh, that's so
it's
good.
The best opening chapter of a book I've ever, like, frankly, I've ever read. Because it just, you get hooked.
I agree.
Immediately. Like, you're just like, wait, what? Like, what just happened here? Like, there's, everyone's dead. There's blood everywhere. Like, people are slitting their own throats. Like, it's insane.
Do you know,
like, in the best way.
Time?
In the best
This time
way.
Was the first time I realized that. So she, when Marilyn falls face first into the soup, like, she goes up to Marilyn and she, like, lifts her head up and she, like, wipes the soup off her face. And in the scene as her father, you could see it as being, like, very dismissive and, like, just kind of callous. Like, she's dead.
Yeah.
And, like, but she does it because otherwise she would drown in the soup.
She would drown in the soup.
She would drown.
So she has to, like, move her
head. So she has to, like, lift her head up, and she does it, and then she turns her head and puts it down.
Yeah.
And, like, it was the first, at this time reading, it was the first time I, like, actually realized what she was doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, clever.
Clever.
The way that it's revealed is so clever, because you're like, the only way you're really you have a sense of, like, she's not super evil is because of, like, the handhold with the sister.
Yeah, it's very little, little
things.
Having
these flashbacks, like, little ties. And then when she's actually on the horse on the way to Ithacana is when she's, like, that's what her sisters would wake up to, with smoke and death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, fire and blood and death.
And they would find out from the note she put in her sister's hand, and you're like, what?
It's,
like,
wild.
Oh, God.
Like,
wild.
Even then, I mean, she says it, like, she's giving them a very slim chance. Like, they have narcotics in them. They're gonna wake up and they lit the whole place on fire. Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, it's
crazy. But then wait. The way that she convinces
him not to kill
she actually, like, slit their throats
genius.
Or something, and she's like
just let the birds eat them.
Yeah. She's like,
let the scavengers
pick their body, like, whatever.
And he's like, oh,
he's like, oh,
you're ruthless.
Genius, my daughter.
Proud of her.
Father of the year.
father of, I mean, like, yes. Truly, he was like, oh, I love that. Fantastic idea. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, you are a psychopath.
Disgusting. Yeah.
So let's talk about Laura as a character.
Yeah, let's do. Yes.
I love her nickname.
Little cockroach. Little cockroach, yes.
Which I have a very,
like, I think it's very telling.
Like a little...
Oh, gross.
Okay, I can't. The first time I read that, like, I actually have, like, a huge, like, I know they're so small, and I know they
really can't hurt me. Oh, I hate them.
But, like, I scream, I can't,
they're
like,
They're not
I,
always small.
No, they're...
Sometimes they're...
Well, in Texas, they're massive. They are massive freaking things.
Sometimes and they're, like, granddaddy the size deal. Of... It's... It, no, they're awful. They're awful.
Can't deal.
They're the worst.
And so when I saw, like, called her that, I was, like... And it was, like, a term of endearment. I was, like, no...
Well,
no.
Yeah, from those psychopaths,
this is the worst thing you could call me.
It's,
but I do think it's like a.
I know, I get it.
Tell,
no, I
like,
get it.
You will survive. You,
yeah, they'll survive no matter
there
what.
There are so many times in this book where she, like, the freaking sharks, like, her almost drowning multiple times.
Yes.
Like, her,
yeah.
Like, her sisters, like,
yeah.
Her whole experience growing up. Like,
yeah.
Being.
Her child
that was traumatic.
Terrible. Like,
oh, that was.
It's true.
Her being, like, ripped from her mother's arms when she was 5 and,
yes.
Like, they were holding her mom. That was really hard to. I was like, oh, I don't like that. Like,
it's
true. Very sad.
It is, one, impressive that she is capable of
empathy.
The emotional growth that she gets
that's
to eventually.
True.
Two, it is all the more understandable why she is the way she is and has to, and believes that what she's doing is for a reason, because if not, all of that was for nothing.
True.
Which it was.
True. Which it was.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One thing in this read that I picked up on a lot more was more like Selena vibes.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah, she's an assassin.
And like, I am stubborn and I know what's
right.
And like, I don't have feelings. Don't tell me I have to have feelings because I know what I'm doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
But actually I have feelings and they're scaring me. But really what kind of made me think of that was the amount of times she uses these mantras that I feel like Selena used. Like, I will survive.
Yeah.
I will not die.
Yeah.
I will, like, all these
yeah.
things that I feel like Selena uses at times throughout the
book. Like when she thinks of terrorism.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I feel like was a really interesting
That is a really I totally see that. They're both at the beginning, especially both very closed off, like emotionally.
Yes, because of how they're
right.
They're
both, yeah. It's
well,
totally
and they both have experienced loss in different ways and also like basically the loss of their childhood.
Yes. And also like, so in contrast to that, Aaron has had a loving childhood.
Yeah. Let's talk about Aaron. I love him so much.
I love him so much. Like,
me too.
I
me too.
Love him
book boyfriend
so much.
I don't know how she has built this male lead who's like
literally
rivals like any other one. I truly think this is like one of my top
same.
Two
I think he's
top three male leads
he is like my top male lead, because this is something that I've texted both of y'all about.
Yes.
But I think it's important to talk about. Okay. in most fantasy books, it's so often it's this like grumpy, brash fey male who's like soft for just this one girl. And he, like, brings out, she, like, brings out a side of him that, like, nobody else gets to see and, like, softens him. And that's fair. We love that. I'm here for that. Live for it, breathe for it. But it was so nice to see a male lead who is, like, vulnerable and sweet and, like, romantic and caring. And he was the one, like, wanting to make this work. Like, he was the one trying to win Laura over. And she's over there just, like, meh, not having it. And he's so great. Like, how could you not love him?
He does it in such a way where it's not pushy. It's not possessive.
No.
And
it's, that's another thing.
It's very, it's, love it's, that. Almost, it's very caring. It's very, I will let you come to me.
Yes.
And
he just looks out for her.
I'm not just like,
he looks out for
he
her.
He does. He looks he out does. For her.
While also, I think a big part of it is like, you see him be a great leader.
Yes.
You see him be a great friend. You see him be a great brother.
Yes.
You see him be a great person.
He is and a very think, well-rounded. Like, yes. I mean, like we talked about with Hawk and Castiel, like, and even like Rowan, like I just didn't feel like they were very fleshed out individuals apart from their relationship. Yes. Whereas I felt like Aaron was his own person, yeah, without Laura.
Agreed, agreed. And you got to see that.
Totally, which I loved.
Yes. So I love this line that he tells to her. This is like, she's finally reconciled with like everything that she, you know, that she has grown up believing is a lie.
Uh-huh.
And she goes to him and he says to her, I need you to say that you want this, Laura, that you're allowing this because you choose to, not yes. because it was forced upon you. And oh. I think like he's saying, this has to be your choice. Like, I'm here, but it's your choice.
Yes.
And it's he's just consent's big in all the books that we read pretty much. I mean,
it is.
But this is different than just consent. It's different. It's I'm allowing you to be emotionally available and I'm here for you if you want to go on this journey with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. He respects her so he does. Much from the second he meets her.
Mm-hmm. He does. He's never cruel to her, even though like they never. Don't know each other.
No.
Like even at the beginning when they get in the boat and she's like violently ill and she's like, I can't, she's like clinging
oh,
to him.
My God. And she's seasick and she's scared
because she can't swim and he's like, we're going to the bridge and everyone's like, that's no,
yeah,
like we what? Should not take
and
her there,
like, no, she's scared, just go, like, oh,
and God, he calls so it even, and even like Nana's like, you should have just let her thrown up, like should have just let her be sick, like
fucking Nana.
Which like she sucks, but like to be fair, he doesn't know her from the Man of the Moon.
No.
Like this is his bridge,
yeah,
this is his like his whole kingdom, but he still does it for
yes.
her.
And I think part of that, like as a reader, that we get maybe that it's almost amplified, like the love of that behavior from him is because mm-hmm. from the beginning we are in her head of like, he is a monster, he is
yeah.
this evil king, he's worse than his father,
and even
was.
When
like,
you see him he's wearing
things.
This scary mask,
and then you meet
yeah.
exactly, and then you meet him and he's in these like scary demon mask, and so then you like the next time we see him not in that mask, he is like, you know, talking to his sister, I think
mm-hmm.
he's even like laying on a bench or something,
yeah.
his sister is like, hey, and he's like, oh God, is she okay? Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
Did she wake up? And he says to his sister, he's like,
yeah.
you should be there when she wakes up. And she was like, you should be there when she wakes up. And he's like, no, she's had enough going on for one day.
Yeah.
She doesn't need a strange man being there when she wakes up.
I
yes.
loved that.
And it's like, oh my
like,
God.
Like, so thoughtful.
Like, and in that same, I love that. And even in that same conversation with Anna, she is very adamant that, like, he keeps her at arm's length and that he never trusts her. And he it repeatedly says to not just her, but to Jor and everybody else that comes at him, Nana. And he says, she's my wife. And if we're going to make this work, my mother set this treaty for me to marry a Meridrinian because she fully believed that in order for our people to accept another like
yeah.
culture, they had to see it in their like
yes.
daily lives.
Yes.
Totally
and
agree.
I'm going to make this work. And I'm going, and he's willing to take his time.
He's
not going to force it upon her. He's like, I will just show
and
her
he says,
that I can, that this is who we are. These are our people. We are not these monsters that she thinks that we are.
Yeah.
And he says multiple times, he's like, I'm not just going to lock her
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. And we also get to see him like really sweetly fall in love with her
oh.
and talk about her azure eyes and like these like sweet things.
And he loves her like just feisty like, personality. Like he
yes.
just, he's so like in awe of her. And it's just.
And like speaking of, okay, feisty personality. So one of my favorite quotes, which like, it's funny. Second time reading it through, you're like, oh, Danielle, this is just so pointed and fun. But, okay.
Oh, I know.
So
I know.
Says,
okay, yeah. This is a good
yeah.
one.
He says, if the Khanna needed a queen who was a warrior, a woman who would fight to the death for her people, a woman who was cunning and ruthless, not because she wanted to be, but because her country needed her
yeah.
to be, a woman who challenged him every day for the rest of his life, a woman Ithacana would respect. And there was one thing he was certain. Laura Valiant was not that woman. And like, it's just so
oh,
like,
Danielle.
She is,
Danielle.
Maybe the second time you're like, oh,
literally
this is just exactly who she is at the end. This could really just be a
yeah.
bubble of the
this
description
is the bubble
of the
yeah.
book.
That,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
Laura,
yeah.
here's the description of her. Like, I mean,
of her at the
it's
end of
just,
the book.
It's such
it.
A funny little nod, a little, like, Easter egg
it's
to,
so
like,
fun.
The person that,
it.
The queen that Laura becomes at the end of the book is just,
yes.
like,
yeah.
it is so good. And I will say, like, she, I mean, in the battles, she was healing, like, grabbing people, running into the
oh,
fray.
Wait, yeah, can we talk about a couple of those, like, initial battles where she
yes.
jumps in? The first
yes.
yes. one is at the Seraph Island, where yes. he, it's like...
It's a really tricky balance, though, too, because she doesn't want to show that she can be in battle.
I know, and it's...
She doesn't want to give that away.
I love, like, a good fighter, like oh, yeah. Selena. Or, you know, oh, I just, Selena. I love a good, like, you know...
But it was such a fun balance to see her try to hold it back.
It was yeah. exactly, like, was like, and it's like oh, it's like a, it's yeah. a, and it's such a theater thing, right, Christina? Where it's like it's more interesting to see a character on stage, like an actor, not cry than cry.
Oh, absolutely.
Because as soon as they cry, everything gets that's the cathartic release.
Yes.
But and it's like watching her grapple.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Like Christina was saying, it's really interesting to like see her want to fight, know that she can freaking kick ass and that she's yeah. better than a yeah. lot of these soldiers yeah. and yeah. then take she your,
yeah it,
she
is
she
really
grapples with this moral sense of like she doesn't want Aaron to die because it's not on her terms,
right?
So like she uses that almost as her excuse
yes.
to jump into battle,
right?
But
yes.
but she can't stand to see, like, she talks about seeing the children lying slaughtered
oh,
and like
I
the parents
was...
and like oh. the villages that have been totally decimated by these raiders, and she says like she still doesn't view them as her people, but she like understands that this isn't
totally.
right, but she in her head she justifies it as, well, I don't want Aaron to die.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's the same thing on Ayla Island with
yeah
the, with
that
the
was
injuries.
insane. She's like running into the surf and like oh. grabbing Bill, she's like oh like
she's
screaming
dragging.
Trying to like drag
I love
them.
It and she brings them back and she puts the bodies down and she just looks at them and she goes help them
yeah
and then she's pulling the guy in from the surf and then Aaron comes behind her and
oh
is, like,
yeah when the waves are crashing over
help
yeah
he's like what are you doing and then she sees someone coming from behind him and she yells at him fight she's
yes
like, fight.
Yeah
what are you doing
oh,
fight
I love
and
that
then he turns around and starts fighting and she's still pulling the body up and it's like oh
it's,
my god
it's
she's
so
a little cockroach
good. She is. She's like, no, like, we are not losing this.
We are fighting.
I fucking loved those. I loved those scenes.
Like, she's trying so hard to hide that she is mm-hmm. an actual warrior in these scenes. And the actual first time we see her show that
yeah.
is on Snake Island when she's trying to save Aaron.
She does.
Oh, I love that scene.
I love that scene.
That's when they find
I mean,
out.
Hate it, but love
and
it.
She
grabs,
she grabs the bow. And shoots the snake.
Yep.
Like, she's like, in a second.
And right through the head.
And he
I mean, that's
turns
eye.
Around. Halfway up the wall and is like, who disobeyed my order? And it's her with the bow in
yeah.
her hand. And he's like,
and she like tosses it aside, but like everybody already knows. She's
like,
she's like,
wasn't me.
I don't know who that was.
It's so good. And then he gets in the boat and he's like, you can shoot like that.
Oh yeah, she says
that would have been something good to know the past few months.
Yeah.
Because you never asked.
For ass.
Yeah.
Which like
what?
I mean,
yeah, I never asked you if you could shoot a fucking bow like an expert.
Like a freaking assassin. Like, she literally, she's like pointing it like before she even like turns. Like, it says she's like notching it as she's going.
And
like lets it go in a second. And it shoots the snake from like however far away through the head.
Okay, let's explain what Snake Island is.
It's the thing of fucking nightmares is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so Snake Island is... So Lauren notices that there's this island that is like you has pretty easy access to get to, which is very unlike all of the other access to the bridge.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, wait, this could be a great opening for my father and our troops to get in. Like, this seems, why would they just have this island that's like very easy to get to you could get to the bridge. And it's because
turns out
I think it's Anna or
No, it's Taryn. It's Taryn.
Taryn. So Taryn grabs a fish and she throws it onto the shore and she's like, let me tell you why this is a very, you know, deceptive island. And she throws it onto the shore and like within seconds, 50 snakes,
like
100 snakes come
goosebumps.
Out and like,
I can't.
Ooh, it's like, all I'm thinking is like Raiders of the Lost Ark and like Indiana Jones and all the snakes.
Oh,
I
can't.
I literally,
can't
when
it.
I tell you that this is my living hell, like I would literally rather die than be anywhere near this island. And then they like all get in the water and I'm like, what are we doing?
So you have this whole thing and Aaron's like, oh yeah, as a kid it's like a thing like to see who can run up the island and get to the pier and climb up the pier before the snakes get you. And you have two friends who are like distracting the snakes with like dead fish that we're throwing on the shore. And so someone challenges or whatever, like he does it.
But that's
no,
the,
no
that's
one,
thing.
No one challenges him.
Oh,
so here's what happened. Sorry. Let me just backtrack for 1 second from Snake Island. So Aaron gets shot in the shoulder and she's holding him and they have to take the thing out. And it's like this really emotional thing.
I have the line. Okay. So she has this turning point in that scene where she leaves because she realizes he's been missing. He was supposed to come home and she's like frantic. They're supposed to have dinner. She's dressed up. She's like actually really excited about this. He doesn't show up, and she realizes that something bad has happened. And then when he shows up, and like he has the arrow, and they pull it out, and she like realizes she actually has feelings, not just like
oh, that's right.
She runs out of the. He chases and after like, her.
Fuck, I have feelings.
Yeah, and he says, wait. She couldn't, she shouldn't, not when every bit of resolve she possessed was crumbling to the ground. Yet her feet remained fixed to the earth as Aaron slowly made his way toward her, blood running down his arm, dripping from his fingertips. I'm sorry, his voice was shaky. I'm sorry that all you've seen since you've been here is violence. And then it goes into that little inner monologue kind of like thought process.
I love him.
All she had ever known was violence. It was nothing to her and everything. I wish it was different. I wish it wasn't like this. And then he continues and he says, they look at each other and he says, eyes just like your damnable father. That's what I thought when I first saw you. We call it Madrinian bastard blue, but I was wrong. They're different. They're deeper. Like the color of the sea around Aaron Hall, which she doesn't know what that is yet.
She doesn't know what that is.
This is her big turning point of like, this is not okay. Yeah. And that's when she gets frantic.
And then she tries to leave and he kisses her knuckles.
Oh,
and
he says, don't go.
And she in her head is like, oh no, fuck, I love him. Yep. What am I doing? Oh no, oh no. And then he kisses her and she's like, oh no, extra oh no. And then, extra oh no, flashing lights, you're fucked.
You're fucked.
And then he's like, pretty much like, help me fix Ithaca.
She says, you have what everyone wants and they're never going to stop trying to take it. This is Ithaca and it's all it will ever be. Live with it. And he responds with, this isn't living, Lara. And she says, then you might as well lay down and die.
Ooh.
Oh, God damn it, Lara.
And that's like her, that's her building every single wall back up because she's like, at this point, she still thinks that like, she realizes that he might not be the monster she was led to believe, but in her mind, she still thinks that he is withholding food and you know, rations and stuff from her people and Marjorina.
That feeling of oh no, panic escalates into she right after the scene goes to write the invisible ink on the letter
right after.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. But so that happens. Oh yeah. Which we'll get to.
Yeah,
but
we will.
Flash forward. Then we get on the boat to Snake Island.
I feel like this has been a really long
okay.
It is.
This was a really big segue, but when we get to Snake Island, he's mad at her.
He's frustrated by her.
And she is like, who are you proving yourself to? Why are you doing this?
Yeah. And everyone is saying him like, don't, like, why are you doing this? Like, don't do this. Yes. And she's like, Aaron, you don't need to do this. Like, she says that to him. She's like, you don't need to do this.
And then he says to Jor,
Jor tells him, like, okay, he tells Taryn and somebody else to get in the water. And Jor is like, absolutely not, stay where you are. And Aaron turns around and is like,
I'm your king.
He was like, I'm sorry, like, I'm your king.
He pulls rank.
And essentially, he pulls rank, which even Laura's like, he never does that, ever. He never does that.
Because Jor wants to have he wants to have everyone with the bows and arrow, like, ready to, like, fire the snakes. Oh, and he's like,
yes.
That's not what we're doing. I'm doing this the old-fashioned way, basically.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important that at the very end, when the big snake is about to attack Aaron that he doesn't see coming, that she grabs the arrow. And she bullseye right into the
and
snake.
And saves Aaron.
Oh,
and Aaron like ass. Turns around and is pissed. She's and he's so like, mad. Who shot the arrow after I told them not to?
Her. And then it's really funny because like after they get back on the boat, they start bickering. And Jor pushes both of them into the water.
And
he's like, handle your little marital tiff. Yes. We'll be back.
Yeah.
And that's where, because he's pissed off. This is when they start fighting. And she's like, she finally confronts him with like everything that she's grown up believing. And he's like, you think I'm the reason your people in Marjorina are starving? No, it's your freaking father who like doesn't actually give them food. Instead, he spends the money on steel for a war that he shouldn't be fighting. And so then he's like, get in the boat. I'm going to take you to Valencia. And they sail there. They get there and has this like whole pseudonym that he goes by.
John.
They get off the ship and they go to like the bar and they meet one of Aaron's ex-lovers, Marisol, ooh, who's also one of his spies.
She's
Drinian, and Laura quickly realizes that like her father really is the reason that like her people have been suffering her entire life, and that like even when she was when she left the desert after like, you know, quote unquote killing her sisters, and like all the streets were lined with people worshiping her and saying you'll be the savior of Marjorina, she finds out that those people were all paid to say that
by her,
that
father.
And everyone is starving. And she can't cope.
And then it's like at
the end of the night that this is, and I love this moment because it's such a foreshadowing moment. So it's when she's leaving and going towards the castle. and Jor and him immediately follow her.
Yeah.
And Aaron is so panicky because he's like, if she goes into those doors, she'll tell all of Ithacana's secrets, and they could lose the bridge. They could, their whole, they could be decimated. Everything. Their population could be decimated. And he has the arrow trained on her back, and she reaches the guard gate, and she's staring up at the guards, and he is literally seconds.
It's so good.
Seconds. He says, and Jor says, you don't have to do this. Like, this shouldn't be on your conscience. Like, I will do it. And he said, no, this was my choice. Like, I chose brought her to trust here. Her. I brought her here. Yeah. And he, like, even visualizes it. He has this, like, moment of, like, in his brain where he sees himself pulling the arrow. And then just when you think he's going to fire the arrow, she turns and bolts back.
And runs away.
Like, runs the other direction.
Yeah.
And he breathes. Like, he almost, I think, does he throw up? Like, he throws up. And, like, he throws up.
Yeah.
And he's like, he almost killed her. And he knows that at that point, I think he realizes that he loves her.
Yeah.
And it's such a foreshadowing moment to the very end where the arrow knocked at her forehead.
And he says, the ending. Why?
Like, he would have been able to actually release the arrow at that point, but he can't at the end after all. Like,
no, yeah.
Because they've both experienced, like, loving each other at that point. At this point, neither of them has admitted.
Right.
So then she goes back to the bar and gets wasted. She's just totally wasted. And then he has this beautiful line that is just the most
Christina,
beautiful.
Please read it. This is my favorite line in the whole book. In the whole book.
It's so good. She gets really wasted, and he's carrying her up the stairs because she's realized everything she's learned is a lie. And so
her whole life is a lie. She's too drunk to walk,
and he picks her up, and he's going to carry her up the stairs. And go ahead, Christina.
Okay, thank you. Yes, okay. So he says, since the moment I set eyes on you in Southwatch, there's been no one but you. Even if I'm a goddamn fool for it, there will never be anyone but you.
I love her so much.
The thought that she has right after that.
Says,
yeah.
So, okay. So he says, there will never be anyone but you. And then her thought is, you are a fool. She thought as darkness took her. And that made two of us.
I just love that.
That line.
Fucking beautiful.
I mean, swoon. Like, swoon. I love him.
Swooniest.
So much.
Have I ever did swoon?
I can't even. Like, there are no words. Like, I love him so much.
I know.
He's so wonderful. And I love
that he like, puts it out there. Like, he says that.
I know.
Whereas, like, and she's the one that, like, does it.
At the end, when we get to the end, you're like, God damn it, this poor sweet boy gave you his heart.
Okay, truly. The shark scene.
Oh
my God. Y'all.
Okay. First of all, my biggest fear. Okay. My biggest, like, physical fear of, like, things that can crawl and walk and swim are sharks.
Sharks.
I have a massive fear of sharks.
Crawl and walk and swim is sharks.
I love the ocean. I love going to the ocean. I could never scuba dive. I cannot.
No.
Can't deal.
Cannot.
Shark week, not my
terrified.
Thing. I can't do lake water because I know that there are no sharks in lakes. But I can't see the bottom.
But you can't see. So you don't know.
I know somebody put a shark in there.
Well, could be.
I don't know what people do out there.
You know, they have found a shark in a lake before. They have. Not like a jaw size one, but, like, yes, they have found sharks.
Where?
I don't know. Don't Google
it. Doing
it. Because it will haunt you.
There's also snakes in lakes.
So. Yeah, there is, because I went to camp
at a place. The snakes in the lakes, I agree. So I am, one, terrified of sharks, but two, I have a weird fascination with them where, like, I want to watch them, always want to watch Shark Week. I'm into it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
That being said, this scene terrified the crap out of me.
I had a heart attack. Like,
the shark swimming right at them.
Yeah.
At them. And its mouth comes out of the water, and she can see its teeth.
She can see the teeth.
Dead.
The rows
dead.
Of teeth.
Dead.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
So first of all, let's go.
Gonna need a bigger boat.
So let's go through the scene.
Okay, so.
It's when they're coming back from Vencia, and there's a big storm. And so they get on. Anna is really pissed off that, like, he risked his life during the tempest storm. So they're on the bridge, and he, like, I don't know if there's, like, a break in the storm or something, but he brings Lara up to, like, the roof of the bridge to, like, confront her about the fact that she's a spy for her father.
Yes.
Yeah. So then Anna, like, shows up.
Anna says,
"Ooh, this was bad.
Wife in name only, from what I hear. And don't think that everyone doesn't realize that you're risking your entire kingdom just to get between her legs." Pretty much then Laura's like, Anna, and tries to, like, go talk to her. And then Anna says, stay out of this, without
it's
looking.
It's an accident. She, like,
swung her arm to, like, just stay out of this.
Yeah.
And then in doing that, knocks her off the bridge.
Yeah.
And she falls into the water, the shark-infested waters.
She can't swim.
She can't swim. One. She hears Aaron screaming, and then
he jumps in.
All of a sudden, he's in the water with her.
Jumps in after her and saves her. Like, yep. Oh my god.
Yep. And it's the waves. Remember the waves crashing over them? Yeah. She can't even like get a hold of it. And then there's a whole part where she's like, let me go.
Yeah.
Like, she keeps telling him, let me go. And he's just saying, no.
Yes. Like, yeah, he's like, no.
Because she's like, both of us don't have to die.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. Oh.
And then they get like, at some point, they like,
spike.
Then they end up like grabbing onto his like spike hanging out of the water. And like the waves are like bashing them against the spike. And Anna and like other people up on top of the bridge, like throwing them a rope. And Aaron can't reach the rope because he's like too caught up in the water. So Laura has to jump for it. And like the whole description, like just Danielle's about it is you're just incredible. Sitting there, like your hands are like in your head and you're just like, oh shit. And it's like,
so this is also the point in the book where you cannot stop reading.
No, it's go. Yeah. Y'all, also, they shoot, so the shark, like, charges them, comes out of the water, they shoot the bolt, and
it doesn't stop the shark,
like, that's how intense it is, and it, right before it eats them, it gets, like, jerked back, and its body's, like, flying. Y'all, okay. I was like, the fucking snakes, the sharks, I will tell you, I could never live here. Like, no.
But what amazing world building that we felt this so visceral.
Yeah. Oh,
we
were like, I felt like I was in the, like, this. I was like, so I was stressed. It was like, I was in the, yes. I obviously
but also,
know I was,
shit,
I was,
sorry. Just to backtrack, right before she fell off the bridge when they're fighting, he says, did you give them anything? Like, did you tell your father anything? And she's already written all the invisible ink on the pages, but nothing has, to her knowledge, like she has nothing has been said. And so she says like, no, I've given him nothing. And I'm literally like shaking the book, just being like, tell him right now. Just be like, I thought you were bad. I thought you were killing my people. Like, just
like,
tell
here's
him
your ass.
Alive.
Be like, okay, you know, I'm a spy. I wrote this on the,
oh my God, this is before, so
like, just tell him
so
and he could go burn all the letters. Like, you idiot.
Oh my God.
Just tell him.
Let's go into the letter.
Okay, yes. Okay, let's just get to the letter. Cause the letter is coming up right now. So like they get back from this whole shark thing.
Yeah.
And Aaron immediately goes and writes a letter to her father.
I can't.
And he says basically, like, you know, don't threaten Ithacana, don't threaten my
wife. He's like, don't threaten your spy. He said, if you retaliate against
your spy, we'll take it as like a threat against our queen. Yeah.
Which is like,
so,
i.e., like,
which is but saying a lot.
Powerful. I know she's your spy.
Yeah, but she's
however,
our queen.
I don't care. She's also my queen. Like,
oh,
that sentiment is so
beautiful. Love him so I can't.
I know.
And the fact that this asshole king got that letter, got that beautiful sentiment,
and turned it right on over.
Fuck you.
God damn it, Laura.
Like,
God damn it, Laura. Like,
you think she's your queen? I was like, no.
Like, so let's talk about the letter.
I mean, at this point, like you said, like, all the secrets are out there. Just be like, hey, wait, okay, before I let you leave my sight, don't.
Sorry,
one quick thing.
One more secret. One more thing.
Don't write any letters.
Don't write any letters.
Don't write.
Just don't write any letters.
Don't write dear old papa any letters.
I said, one second.
But please hold. Just don't write anybody any missives. Thank you. Goodbye. And he'd be like, well,
he's even okay with her being a spy. He's like, and I get it.
Don't write any letters. I wrote
for and still so in love with you. I'm still so in love with you that I'm.
They had a moment. Yeah. He's not killing her. He's not imprisoning her.
We've gotten past that. So that is the moment to say, you know what? Well, this has gone so well. Let's just come clean about
everything.
All the things.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. I.e., you know what we should do together? Let's go to your office
and burn.
And take care
all
of the
I even
of
thought
these
about
papers.
This. I was like, he doesn't have to read it. You don't have to, like, you can just be like, listen, just trust
me. I'm going
to
throw all these in the fire.
I said some shit.
And we'll never speak of this again.
Let's just get rid of
it.
And that's it.
And instead, it's like this complicated rigmarole of like, okay, so he actually had the paper, but he didn't have the paper. But then we have to ruin the paper.
There's 26 pages.
The paper.
Right. Should we discuss the ending? The reveal?
Yes.
Because the first time I read that, I was like, oh my God. Like, I did not see that coming at all.
Did you pick up on stuff now as you're reading
it? Yeah, like, well,
I mean, like,
now
with
it's
the
noble woman. I was like, oh,
and then, when they come back, when they're like all by the campfire, and she goes up, and like the guard is like, oh, yeah. Didn't you just go inside? Yes. And I was I was like, oh shit.
I literally
But isn't that interesting? Because the first time I read that, I was like, huh, that's weird. I like truly didn't phase me, and I don't know how that's possible.
Because you don't expect it. Thing to say. You don't expect
it. I could have sworn I just saw you.
It's a great twist.
Now I was like, oh god. Like, you just, that unease, it starts growing, and then that line from the guard.
She does leave these little, like, as a reread, like, she leaves all these little tiny, like, Easter eggs or, like,
Easter eggs,
of, like, what's about to happen. But then, like, when she turns around and her sister has a knife to Aaron's neck, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. I was
like, no way, because she also talks about Marilyn and Sarhina a lot.
She
and
does.
You get the impression the two of them were close. And to see Marilyn, like, you think, maybe she'll be able to, like, reason with her sister. Like, her sister doesn't know. And she says, like, we were fed lies. Like, this isn't true. And then she realizes that everything she believed with Marilyn wasn't true at all. Because Marilyn, as she says, like, in quote, like, was the best actress of the
best actress. Oh,
like, she didn't actually.
And Marilyn even says, you think I didn't know that our father was going to kill all of you? She was like, because Laura tries to be like, she goes, I did this for you. Like, our father was going to kill you all. And she was like, you think I didn't know that? Like, I didn't care if he killed you all. And I was like, oh, bitch, like, you're crazy.
And then she's like, you took my place. You took, like,
this was supposed to be mine.
And then she, like, makes that comment to Aaron, and she's like, oh, I would have put him through his paces a couple times before. I was like, like, don't talk about Aaron that way. I love him.
Oh, well, and then Aaron's reaction, you're like, this is so valid.
Oh, it's so valid. He's like, it's so valid.
The sisters were dead. What the fuck is going on? Yeah, he goes,
you told me they were dead.
And really, the part that gutted me the most is her reading that letter. Taking out the letter and reading it, because, as you said, she did not tell him. She thought she ruined those pages, so he had no heads up, and he asked her point blank multiple
times. Did you tell him anything?
She lies, and then she says, I love you, and it's like, why are you telling him you love him right now? You have never even said it. Like, it just seems like a lie.
Yep.
It's so hard to read, but it's like so good.
It's
so hard in that moment too, because you're like, oh no,
it's so bad.
Yeah,
this is the worst case scenario. It's the
worst case.
But also, as a reader, I first time especially, even second time, knowing what was gonna happen, was from the second she wrote that letter in Invisible Ink, so stressed. Because, yes, she does the thing with Vitex and like the cat and the ink. But you know it's not the kids.
Yeah.
Like,
you know it's not going to end well.
You know it's coming. The whole book, you see her bonding with his people. Mm. You see this shit happen, and you're like, this is done.
But you know what I appreciate about that? About the way Danielle does it, is it would have been very easy, but also a cop-out, for him to, like, not have sent the letter, but found the, like, somehow the letter gets tested or something, and he sees the writing, and he, like, questions her. And it still would have been bad. But, like, in a way, the fact that, like, this battle actually happens and Ithacana is, like, infiltrated, they lose the bridge, Taryn dies, like, Anna gets, like, scarred on her face from the battle, like, then Aaron ends up getting kidnapped in the end, and all of this stuff happens, and it's like, literally snowballs. It's one thing after the other, and, like, she can't catch a break. Like, it's, like, all the lies get underneath her. And it's a disaster. Whereas, like, I feel like sometimes authors can, like, make, okay, yeah, we found out that he wrote the letter and he's really pissed at you, but, like, don't worry, we're going to save the day, and, like, the battle won't happen.
It's kind of
I hate to say the word refreshing, but it is to kind of, like, it's just dire.
She went there, and she was like, oh, no, the all are fucked. Like, this is and going to hell in a handbasket.
Like, I really loved Taryn, and, like, I was really sad.
Was too, because especially, like, didn't Laura say, like, she didn't even want to be a soldier, and then she like died.
She, like, wanted to. Yeah, she didn't want to.
It was just like, okay, so let's discuss the scene with the bow and arrow, and that scene when he tells her to run, y'all. It's so good.
You can feel it. You can almost, like, feel him shaking. So he's got her. You know, he's got the arrow knocked at her, and he's like telling her that, like, they've lost everything, and, like, this is all her fault. She's gotten what she's wanted, and she's saying, no, I didn't. I love you. This isn't what I wanted. And he's screaming at her, go. Like, he's got the arrow at her, and he says, I never want to see your face. I never want to hear your name. If there were a way to scour you from my life, I'd do it. But until I find the strength to put you in a goddamn grave, this is all I have. Now run. Oh, because he can't do it, but he's like, you just have to go. You can't be
it's
here.
It's so good.
That line. I don't know what it is about that.
It's so well written.
It's so well written. And then she runs and she looks back and he shoots a fucking arrow at her.
He shoots the arrow and scratches her cheek and he just says, run.
Run.
He mouths, yeah. Like, he doesn't even say it.
Like, the next one won't miss.
But can y'all not see that scene, like, in a, like, can you not see that visually? Like, I,
yes, oh, 100%.
I could see, like,
this, I feel like this is would be such a fantastic movie.
Yes,
it's so good.
It's, yes. Yo, also, who had the call about the last line? Because I did not think about that.
So she escapes, she runs off the island, she's like living in, I don't know, like Vencia or something or other. And she just, it's like been 2 months, I think, right? And she's, yeah, all she's hearing is that, like, you know, the bridge has been taken. Like, Ithacana is still battling. Meridrina is winning. And then she gets the news that, like, devastates her. Eren has been kidnapped by her father. And that's when she's like, okay, I have to go back. Like, I have to go back because I'm the only person who can, like, infiltrate my father's kingdom. So she, like, little cockroach, like, survives the Tempest Storms by herself. She can't freaking swim.
On a boat. And she can't swim.
She can't swim. Yeah. I love this, like, little bookends that authors do. So she gets there, and the soldiers or any of the people in Ithacana, they're all looking at her when she shows up, like, with it. They all want to kill her because she's the reason that everything has gone to shit. And Anna's like, well, why do we need you? And she says, you need me because I am the queen of Ithacana. And it's time my father was brought to his knees.
Ugh.
And I love it.
It's so
because
bad.
It's in the very, the last line of chapter one, the very last line of chapter one is, I will be the next queen of Ithacana and I will bring the bridge kingdom to its knees. It's full so circle. Good. Is it full circle? No, 180. We can scrap
it. Oh my God, I love that line. And I never noticed that until you pointed that out.
I didn't notice it until this time.
Chef's kiss, Danielle. Chef's kiss.
So good. It's so good. Chef's
so
good.
I'm so happy.
It's amazing.
We finally got to, like, do this episode.
I know. Because this has been one of our, like, favorite books for, like, almost a year
now. We reference
now.
It all the time. We love it so
it's amazing.
Much.
We loved it.
She's so good.
10 out of 10 love stars it. To Danielle. Would obviously highly recommend.
So up next we'll be doing Traitor Queen, which is the book two in the Bridge Kingdom
series.
And it's so hard not to start reading it tonight because I know we're not recording for a little while. So, like, I want to make sure it's fresh in my mind.
And I read Bridge Kingdom in, like, two sittings. And so I'm very much like, no, Kim, you cannot start this because I know myself and I will just, like, not stop reading it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wraps up this episode. So until next time, follow us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Happy reading.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.